Thank you, Ms. Williams. Amen. Brother Paul Maney is going to be speaking to us. He's been our missionary, my understanding is since 2001, and that was before my time at Landmark. But I'm so thankful that we've got missionaries that have still been faithful that came on long before I ever got to show up here. And we've been supporting him all that, and he's been working in the Philippines. Brother, you come. He's going to give us an update and everything, and then we've got some other things to talk about missions tonight as well. But you, brother, whatever God lays upon your heart, you do that, amen. Give us an update.
Thank you, Pastor Parsons. Thank you, Landmark, for your support. Since 2001, we just started deputation, and in 2001, and we went to the field in 2003. I was born in the Philippines, but came to America when I was just 8 years old. And we moved to Long Island, New York. How many is from New York? Okay, good. We were going to a doctor there, and a doctor invited us to church. And thank the Lord for doctors to invite people to church, right? And during that time, my mom and dad separated, so my mom had to raise four boys by herself and no sisters, amen? Four boys, 11 years old. My oldest brother was 11, the second oldest was 10, I was 8, and then my youngest brother was 5 years old. But you know, God knows, even if you're going through some situation, God has a plan, right? And so during that time, that doctor invited us, saw these four boys, and said, went to my mom and said, can we invite your four boys to Sunday school? And my mom said, there's only one stipulation. And doctor said, what's that? I have to go with them, right? They cause a lot of problems. And so we went there to church there in New York, Brookhaven Independent Baptist Church. And I believe the church was just about 6 months old. And thank the Lord for Sunday school teacher, Miss McKeever. She was a pastor's wife. And when I was 11 years old, she told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a loving way, Sunday school teachers, thank the Lord for Sunday school teachers. Amen. You don't know if that little boy or little girl is going to be a missionary serving the Lord in their church or somewhere in the foreign field. And just keep going, right, Sunday school teacher? And so after Sunday school, I went to a little corner there right before the morning service. You know, you have the 15-minute break before the morning service. And I went to that track rack. They call it the track rack. And I went behind the track rack as an 11-year-old boy, and I bowed my head, and I can still remember it to this day. Little boys can still be saved. Little girls can still be saved. A boy and girl that you bring to the bus route can still be saved, right? You don't know. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, and thank the Lord for salvation by grace through faith and not of works, right? And the reason why I got saved, because my Sunday school teacher scared me. She said, Mark, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. But did you know she did that in a loving way, right? And just tell them the truth. There's a place. And one of these days, we're all going to die. And that's what it's all about, getting the gospel out. And then when I was 16 years old, we had moved to New York to Florida, and Orlando, Florida. Actually, I graduated in Boone High School in Orlando, Florida. And there, as a 19-year-old boy, for 3 years, the Lord has been dealing with me about serving him. And when I was 19 years old, on a Wednesday night, just like this, a missionary came from Mexico, and he said that he drove from Mexico City to Texas, and he saw about 5 Baptist churches. And then he drove from Texas to Florida, and he saw about 200 Baptist churches. And he said, that's not fair. He said, some of you need to surrender to missions. And that night, on a Wednesday night, I walked forward. I don't know if I was the only one, but I surrendered to go to the mission field. And thank the Lord that maybe some of you young ladies, some young men can go to the mission field, right? Maybe some of you teenagers surrender and reach people with the gospel. And nothing better than serving the Lord, right? And so in 2001, we started Deputation. And thank the Lord for Landmark Baptist Church for supporting us for this many years. And then in 2003, we went to the Philippines. And I lost the language. I didn't have any Filipino friends growing up. So I lost the language. I knew a little bit, maybe 5%. So went back to language school. My wife is from Michigan, and she learned the language also. In 2004, we went to La Trinidad Benguet, and it's about 8 hours north of Manila, and about 120,000 people there. And we just started knocking on doors, right? And that's what we did early this afternoon. Went knocked on doors and talked to a couple people. And thank the Lord for soul winning church here in Haines City. You just keep going and reaching people with the gospel. So we just knocked on doors, and we didn't know anybody. And there's 14 suburbs there in our city of 120,000 people. And so what we did was, on Sunday night, we had a home Bible study. We would go knock on doors in that suburb. And then we would ask the mom or the dad if we can, after we win them to the Lord, we would ask them if we can hold a home Bible study in their house. And guess what? They said yes. And so we would hold a home Bible study there on Sunday night. And then we would go to a different suburb about a couple miles away, and about 8, 10, 12,000 people there in that suburb. They call it barangay there in the Philippines. And we would knock doors, and then if we win someone to the Lord, and we would ask the mom or dad or the grandmother or the grandfather if we can hold a home Bible study in their house. And guess what? They said yes, right? And the Lord opened their heart, just like in the book of Acts. And then we would go to another suburb about 2-3 miles away and knock on doors. And we would ask the same question after they get saved. Is it possible to hold a home Bible study in your house? And guess what? They said, yes. So we did that on Sunday night in a different location. And we did that on Wednesday night in a different location. And we went to another suburb on Friday night on a different location. Each suburb averaged about 8, 10, 12,000 people per town or suburb. One on Sunday night, sometimes we'll average about 40 people with children. And we have a children's Bible study, storytelling. And then right after that, we'll invite the adults to come on a different hour. And then Wednesday night, we did the same thing. And then we'll have about 20, 30 people on that. And then Friday night, we'll have the same thing. We'll have about 60, 70 people there sometimes with the children. And after 6 months of that, we told the home Bible studies that we're going to shut down the home Bible study. And they were sad. They said, why? Because we're about to start the church. And we said, we're going to shut them down and get all these three home Bible studies together. And we're going to start the Highland Baptist Church. And so in February 2005, we started the Highland Baptist Church. And that very first Sunday, we had 100 people come that Sunday. People always ask us, did you know anybody there, family, friends? No, we didn't know anybody. We just went soul winning. We just went reach people with the gospel. And the Lord gets all the glory, right? The Lord gets all the glory. The very first month we started church, we started supporting a missionary to China. We told our people that we're going to support missionaries. And the gospel is not just the mission funds, not just going to end with us. We're going to keep going. And actually, I wanted to be a missionary to China, but the Lord had other plans. That's another story. But we just reach people with the gospel. And we have a missions conference at our church, and we support missionaries. We raise funds, just a faith promise. And we support missionaries to Vietnam. Vietnam, do you support missionaries to Vietnam? how about Bangladesh? You support missionary to Bangladesh? We support missionaries through Sri Lanka. Missionaries, thank the Lord. Those Filipinos, they raise their support there in the Philippines. And they go out to those countries and reach people with the gospel. And right now we support 43 missionaries there in our church. But we just keep getting the gospel. Not Landmark Baptist Church, not only your funds comes supporting us, but your support goes all over the world. They're in Vietnam. They're in Sri Lanka. Your support is also going to Bangladesh, Muslim country, because you support us. They're in the Philippines. So it doesn't end with us. And by the way, those missionaries we support, we ask them to support other missionaries also. And some of those, and those missionaries support people in Africa. So the gospel just keeps going and all over the world. And that's what it's all about, right? That's what it's all about. So 19 years ago, we started the church there. And 12 years ago, we started a second church, Pines Park Lubas Baptist Church. And then 3 years ago, we started a third church, Family Baptist Church. And then last year, we started a fourth church, Pugan Baptist Church. And then when we go back, Lord willing, we'll start a fifth church. And thank the Lord. Please pray for us. We're trying to build a building, and we need foundations for that. We need 8 foundation, and it costs about $1,500 per foundation. But we're doing it for the Lord, right? Reaching people with the gospel. So thank you, Brother Pastor Parsons.
It's good to have him here tonight, isn't it? Amen. All right, we're going to hand some things out to you, and this is just some of the missions that we're doing. So let's take that first stack and make sure everybody gets one of those prayer requests. And so you guys spread that out among yourselves and make sure you get the folks in the balcony. And so these are going to be just all our college students, those that have joined in with them, everybody that we could get a name that is going on a soul winning marathon. Want you to pray for them by name. We're really going out, and even though this, we don't call the soul winning marathon a mission trip, it really is. We're going out to be with Brother Colin Morton, Pastor Colin Morton now, out there at Cornerstone Baptist Church, just outside of Indianapolis there, and we're going to go soul winning. This is by far the farthest we've ever been for a soul winning marathon, and we're doing that really at his request. We had a church here in Arcadia that we were going to go to that we had scheduled, and that pastor resigned the church, and they are in the process of, Brother Jay Shepherd has taken that building over and is renovating that. Many of you are familiar with Brother Jay Shepherd, and they're going to make that a Spanish church in Arcadia. And one of our graduates is going to pastor that church, Paco Cruz. All right. So they're working on that, and maybe someday in the near future we'll be able to go get behind that, go down and knock doors for that, and do some things to work there for that. But again, that kind of change. And Colin must have been praying against all that, to go on us going in there, because he wanted us to come this year and wanted us to do this. And we were praying about it, and I told him, I said, we already have scheduled it. We're not going to change that. And so when it changed, I called Colin back and told him that we were going to. So Brother Morgan has been out there, kind of scoped it out, looked at everything. Colin has been on these himself, and so we're looking forward to doing that. I'll be going with them primarily to preach. There's a preacher's fellowship on Tuesday. It just kind of coincides with that week, and then preach for their people on Wednesday night, and then we'll be back. But pray for all of us and all the ministering that we'll be doing out there. It's a good church, got a good foundation, and working on that. We just want to be able to help them grow. They have been, just to give you a little bit of information, praying for the church itself. They had a pastor that pastored there for 30 years. And some of our members in here, and I don't know, I didn't ask them before, so I won't say who, but one of our members was one of the early ones that was a part of the few families that got together to start that church there in Indianapolis area. And so he was the one that called me and said, the pastor just resigned, and the church was kind of hurting from that, and said, did we have any man here that was ready to go out? And then I told him I'd put forth Colin, And they called me, the pastor there, the pastor who had been there for 30 years, who started the church, became their interim. And so we're just excited that God is doing a great work there, and we're going to go be able to partner with them. And we've got a great investment in their pastor there. And by the way, there's several of other of our folks and graduates of our college and our ministry here who are on his staff that were up in that area, and he was able to hire them. And so we're not going to folks that don't know us, but a good part of the church, we're going to be brand new to them. And so want to be able to go out there and see people saved, and because I do believe that the group we're going to, we always try to couple with a church we know will follow up. We're not just going to win souls and not couple them with a church. And everything that was said from Brother Paul Maney tonight is, again, getting behind missionaries who are going not to just win souls and leave people to not be discipled, but they're going there to win people, teach them everything, baptize, and teach them the doctrine so that they can continue on and do that over and over again to have missions and do all that. So now that you guys got that handed out, let's go ahead and hand out the next paper that we have. And so Soul Winning Marathon, we want you to pray about. Now, this is something I want you to pray about and give to. Amen. Now you say, preacher, we just gave. I know, a pledge is a promise. Amen. I got almost hoarse doing that. Amen. And so, but I want you to take this and look at it with me if you would. And I just want to explain a little bit, because I want you to be praying about what God is going to do. We need to try to do one per family, guys, but give one to every teenager that wants one. All right. So every one of you, most of us are very familiar because we had Brother Don Chitty Jr. for our Bible conference, and Pastor Chitty, or Dr. Don Chitty Sr., has been here multiple times. And for those of us that are going to the men's feast, he's going to be there, and we're going to get to hear him preach and see him. And we've been on the phone much this week talking about the things that they need done out there, some of the things that they have needs for. He's been our missionary for at least 4 or 5 years. This is a mission field inside the U.S. You've seen the heartbreaking pictures and videos tonight. We're not going to show you that just because of all the time and things like that. And we probably will do that in the future, maybe on a Sunday morning for our folks that maybe didn't get to see those before and get to kind of cue up what they're giving to. But this is a mission trip to the Navajo Indians. It's going to be to Open Bible Baptist Church there, and then that's the church that Brother Don Chitty started. And so as a ministry, we're going to go out there. This is going to give you some idea of just what's going on. We are going to want some adults. This is not just a teens mission trip. We want some adults that are able to go, that have skilled labor, can do some things. Two of the things that he asked us just recently, he's given me square footage on. He wants to their offices that they have. He said that I think they've been built for 30 odd years and the same carpet has been in there since then, and he'd like to go ahead and get fresh vinyl flooring in there. He said I do a lot of the maintenance stuff myself, he said, but I've never done it. We have one other place that we've had men come from outside. He said he had a group from Georgia come out and lay a floor in there with that vinyl flooring, and he said, I'm sure I could do it. I've just never done it. If you know Brother Chitty, his knees are gone. He's in his 70s. And so, again, this is a good time for men to have some skilled labor. Our teenagers are going to be going soul winning every day. They're going to be doing painting, cleaning up, whatever we ask them to do. So they're going to be taking part in this. And, again, it would be good for some of our teenagers to learn how to lay vinyl flooring as well, right? And so some of those things along the way. But these are some of the things. So that was about 1,000 square feet or so. In that area, and then they also have what we would call our Spanish church. They have a Navajo chapel, and so that chapel is right there on their complex, and he said they are going to, the carpet is got holes in it, and it's really dingy, and so they have some of the folks that come off the reservation that do not speak English, and that they want to go to that Navajo chapel. He said it's much like what we would deal with Spanish church. If they do speak English, it's just a little bit of it. And so, again, we want to go in there. And he was talking about, he saw some of those carpet tiles that we've done around our ministry. And he said, that would be a great thing for us in case something happens. We can just pull that carpet tile out and replace it. It's a little bit more pricey than laying regular carpet, but it goes down fast and easy, and it's replaceable. And so we want to be able to raise the money for that. We can get some. It is in America, so we can get some materials there. But some of those things we can get cheaper, and they're more readily available here. He lives in a blue state, okay? And the taxes are very high there. And again, you know, so it's one of those situations where we're going to be in a conversation of what I can get it for there and what we can get it for here, and it may be something that we can do. You may see on the gauge, if you look at your gauge, I just want to make sure I'm taking and pressing through my time well, because a lot of this, I don't want to read everything to you, but I just want you to see, you know, there are planned expenses in here, and this is kind of a cost per person. So that, when you times that by, if we take 50 people and they have enough room there because they have a campground, and they, again, what we're doing is they have scheduled groups that come in. Some of them come in for camp, and they actually have camp during the summer, and they have other weeks that they have prepared for mission groups to come in and do work, and they house them at the campground. And so some of the campground there is where we'll be housed, and so we've priced in here airfare. We've been trying to negotiate that. Our plan, at least at this point, so if you look at the gauge, at the top of the gauge, there are three vans there. Now, we mentioned this briefly, but again, it would take about three vans for us to get the majority of our group out there. And so as we've been planning this, our plan has been to try to raise the funds to take enough vans. They have needs of vans. They have buses that have just been donated to them. We had been talking about taking some buses out there before that, and then a group bought them buses and took them buses. But right now they have, if you understand, we're talking a lot of these buses go 50 miles in one direction before they turn around and come back to the church on the reservation, and farther than that. So he said there's some places that we don't go because we can't, it's not that the bus can't get there, but it's just that they're farther off the beaten path and the bus takes too long because we're filling it up in this area. But if we had vans, and this is one of the things you got to understand, you're driving a bus, and this is not Florida. This is the desert, okay? And so the wind picks up. He said any given afternoon after church is over, we'll be hit with 50 to anywhere from 50 to 70 mile an hour winds, crosswinds. He said, and so some days if the bus is not full, when the bus is full, that's one thing. He said, but when it's not full, he said, it can rock the bus. And he said, so again, getting a shorter van, a van that's full of kids and going somewhere is a lot better with those winds that they're talking about doing than having something that's even higher off of the ground and it's got more area to take wind. So again, this is something that for them, they believe they'll be able to utilize it. It'll make their bus ministry better. It'll allow them to go farther and to get more people to bring back to the church. And so one of the things I'd like to do is try to raise the funds once we get to the point where we can raise the funds for our children and our men and women that are going to go out there and to do the work. We want to try to raise the funds for vans that we can take there and leave them with them. And then we'll fly home from that position. So, and it'd be a blessing. And again, I don't want to buy vans that they have to work on once we take them there. We want them not brand new ones, okay? I'm not talking about buying brand new vans. I'm talking about trying to find good vans, just like we would buy for ourselves, something that, how they call it, gently used. Amen? And so get a couple vans that they can really use out there that'll be good for years to come for them, and not what they call a missionary gift where it's already broken down and wore out before they get it, and then they get it secondhand. So that's one of the things that we've been talking about. Several other things here you'll see on the gauge. So we're looking at, but we, with the price that we've looked at already and we've negotiated on the plane flights, what we're doing is that the vans will be the last thing we do, all right? We're planning on taking a van of ours out there, even if we have, no matter how many vans we have, to be able to take tools, equipment, some of the things we're going to end up having to bring back. So someone will at least drive. But at this point, we're hoping the plane tickets are around $100. And again, that's one way. And that's only if somebody is toting all the luggage in a van, because we're not talking first class, okay? We're talking Frontier, okay? And we're talking about everybody sitting like this, and okay? And so, but still, it would give the young people in our mission work there more days. Instead of traveling for 2 days to get there, we could fly there and be there and then get to work and then be able to fly home. So we're trying to entertain that. We want to be able to try to raise the money so that we have that available to do the flights, but we also want to be able to put money into the van. So this gauge that's over here is for this mission trip. You'll see the envelopes over there, and this is something we want to do to give everybody an opportunity, no matter what giving level they can give. These envelopes have a dollar amount on them, and so no matter how much you can give, we'll have other things that I'm going to explain in the future about just kind of what we're doing for a fundraiser that is on the back of this. And so you can read that. That helps you with dates, all right? And I'm going to talk about them in detail in the future as they come up and how you can help with each one of them. For instance, again, we're talking about Penny Mania. Last time we did that, we're going to talk about that, but we're hoping to do that again. It was really good for us and got us a good start. It was fun activity for the teenagers, and it seemed like it was fun for the church folks. So this time we're going to do a better job, but we're going to have you sign up, and we're going to have groups of teenagers come to your house and pick up your change that you will give them. And the last time we kind of did it sporadically and kind of showed up unannounced and asked you, give me your money. And so this time, you know, we can schedule it out. We'll have you sign up. And if you have change, and again, it's not just going to anything. It's going to this mission trip. It's going to go to missions and the things that are going on there. So again, you look at the back, there's other things that we want to do. We're going to actually have like a dinner auction. So we're going to want our church to invite people out. We're going to try to do like a barbecue box dinner that we can try to get the community to get in on and help us with. But also, if they want to stay, there are going to be items that we're going to auction off in the fellowship hall. And I'm hoping, again, I'll do it in detail, but I'm hoping that our church will participate in that, donate some really good items, and try to go out to folks that you know that care about missions in our community and donate some things that would be worthwhile to bid on and to get rid of there for that and bring money in for this. And also a yard sale, one big yard sale at the gym. And there will be some other things that we're doing, but this is just kind of to give you a map out what our plan is to begin with. And then, so everybody knows before I kind of move away from this, I just, you know, one of the things that trip qualifications, one of the things we've decided to do is like everybody would want to go, right? Everybody wants to go if you have the time to go. So we want our young people. There are some reasons why we're doing this. And so, but the trip qualifications, one of the first things, and this will be adults that want to go or our young people, we want them to write an essay. We want them to contemplate why they want to go, what reasons. It's going to let them sit down and shape, why do I want to go? And hopefully that helps them to really put their mind on the cause of Christ, the things that are going to happen out there, and just really how they want to grow. So we want them to put it on paper. I don't know if it helps you sometimes, but it always helps me to sit down and have good thought and to put it on paper of things that are going on. And so we want them to do that, but we also want the adults that want to go to do that. We want you to, again, we're not saying that any of you would have wrong motives, but again, just sitting down and contemplating, you know, why does God want me to be on this mission trip, and why do I really want to go? So we're going to have that essay, and then attend all the soul winning training. Many of you are good soul winners. But we're going to have some things that we're in contact with them, things and techniques that work where we're going. So again, we've been good soul winners in Florida, but where we're going, things that we need to know, things that we want to interject in our soul winning plan, everybody gets saved the same way. Amen. Now, it's not that, but again, how you approach it on a mission field is different. How you're going to go about greeting them, approaching them, and talking to them, and that stuff. So preparation, so you need to attend these sessions that we're going to have. And then we want you to, if you're going to be in and you're going to go, we want you to attend the fundraising events and be a part of everything we're doing, not only when we get there, but all the way up to it, all the things we're doing. And then for our teenagers, we're going to have that spring campaign to go to camp. And so if a teenager is going to go to this, we want them to have earned their free Wicca camp. If mom and dad are going to put a few dollars in your pocket to go out to a mission trip or give you some spending money while you're going out there, you should have earned your free week of camp. It's something that you can do easily by memorizing verses and being in your Word of God and being in church every time the doors are open. So it's just a small thing that we want each one of them to do. I want you to take your Bibles now, and you can take this and finish up looking at it. I just wanted to kind of lay the foundation of it. If you want to sign up, there's a sign-up sheet over here by the envelopes tonight. If you're thinking, I really want to do this, and you already know, then sign up so we can contact you, put your name, your phone number, and then beside that, pick up one of those essay forms, and you can go ahead and begin to write that or at least contemplate, you know. Don't take 800 of them so that you can mess up three times. It's really, you know, we don't mind if you scribble it out, and if you need to start again, that's okay. All right, and we can get another one, but just take one tonight. Philippians chapter number 4 in the Word of God. Paul here, we use this for our missions conference this year. We talked about holding the rope once and again. And if we're going to hold the rope, not just from the location here in Florida, but sometimes when they say, come over and help us. All right, whether you know this or not, there's some reasons that we want to go. There's some things, and you may not think about it that way, but Brother Chitty would always tell you, it looks like the backside of the moon there. He said, when you get there and you see this, the reservation and how folks live there, you will not believe that that is part of our country, that that's America, that that actually goes on in the world, in this part of our country. And so for us, that's something that I think for all of us, why do we want to take our teens there? We want to expose them to the mission field. All right, and this is a way that's not a foreign country, not yet. That's something we want to expose them to missions, not just the mission field. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this. And beyond that, this is a worthy cause. Our missionary has a need, and we could just give to it and pray for them. But they are desirous of us coming and not only putting our money into it, but putting our hands on the ministry that they have invested their lives in. And they've said, come over and help us. Come over and be here so that we're going to go soul winning. We're going to do all those things that we do here. And then even some of the other things on the fixing up of the buildings and doing those things, the things that are just part of the work of God in any place you go, we want to do that. In Philippians chapter 4, we don't have time to read the entire chapter. I want to hit some high points here. The Apostle Paul is writing back to the church at Philippi, a church that he says in verse number 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul writes back to this church that he cares about so much, and he's going to say, and again, Brother Chitty has been here many times, and let me just say this, that he would often tell me, and this is something we often say, but think about a missionary that will tell you, this place is just like it's always been. He said, I want my son to come and see this place to see that there's a place just like us that still exists on planet Earth that's doing it the same way we have always done it. Listen, we are not their sending church. I just want you to understand, but we have coupled with them because they believe like us, they preach like us, they soul win like us, and they're on the, again, the mission field, and we want to go, we want to continue to couple with them because they're like, again, in the future of this thing, for our curriculum and so many things that we do, we want to partner with our missionaries. All the things we do, we want to make it available to our missionaries. There are missionaries in the Philippines right now that every day they're copying and printing our curriculum, and they do that at absolutely no charge because it would cost us more to ship it to them than it is for us to give it to them and let them produce it for their school there. And we didn't get in the curriculum business to make money. We got in the curriculum business to make sure that young people can be trained in the Word of God on a daily basis with Baptist curriculum, not Christian curriculum or Baptistic curriculum, but Baptist foundational teachings all the way through school, so that when they grow up in their church, they don't have something that's watered down. It's close to being right, but it's the Word of God. It's exactly how it's going to be taught from the pulpit at the Landmark Baptist Church. And so that's why we're in that, not to make money. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to see people grow up in the faith and to continue for the Lord. And so again, here he says they're his joy and his crown. And I take joy every time that I get to see Brother Chitty because I know he's just like us. We're going to go down to this thing because I know when we go down there, the preaching that's going to be a sound doctrine because he stands fast on the Word of God. So we're coupling with somebody that we can trust, that we can go to and be a part of. They again, look with me in verse 3. He says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Now, many of you don't know this, but I'm excited to tell you that before we get to go out there, Brother Chitty and his wife have been there about 50 years. They're in their 50th year of ministry, and his wife has taught school for 46 years on the mission field. All right? Now, we've been talking to him, and I've been wanting to do something for them. And again, he told me just in passing, my wife and I have never, not in the 50 years that they've been on, they've never been on a vacation. Every time he's had to travel the country to keep the ministry supported. And so they've never, outside of that state, they've gone to dinner. They take, just like you and I do, they take their date where they, and I don't do this anymore. I have all the groceries delivered to my house. All right. We used to go on grocery store dates. You ever been on one of them where you go shop, go through the store, and you go home, and that's when your time together, okay? I don't do that anymore. It's not because I don't love the lady. I love her so much, I don't want to go and take a date to Walmart. She don't want to go with me to Walmart no more. Amen? So again, for all of us, this is somebody that has been in the faith, kept the faith, and finished their course, and they're about to retire. She's going to retire at the end of the school year. Somebody in our church has graciously already taken care of them flying to, they're going to fly here, all right? And so what we need to do is we're going to fly them first class here. They've taken care of the stay and the place they're going to be for the week and give them a week, right, on the Gulf and be there. And so all we got to do as a church, I want to raise the funds to fly. I asked them, they've never flown. To get together, they've never gone anywhere first class in a plane. And so I want to fly them first class here and then take care of them and take care of everything they need while they go down there and stay. And then he's going to come back and preach for us on Sunday, and we're going to dote on them, and we're going to doctor them up, and we're just going to just praise the Lord for their faithfulness and put them up. Listen, if the world can get people up in front of them that have been, that they think are special, shouldn't we make much over missionaries that have left their family? This man is from Stark, Florida, and he packed his family up and went to the place that God sent him, and he spent his life there, and he's not quitting. Okay, they're not getting out. They're staying there. He just said, "I think you've taught long enough." He said, she's older. She's 72. I mean, I shouldn't have told you that, right? I'm not supposed to tell that. But again, for all of us, we see here in the scripture that these true. He says, "I entreat thee to help those women which labored with me." Do you know that we could make much over Brother Chitty, and we could fly him here and do all that we could do? But I believe it will mean more to the man of God if we make much of his wife, because he could not have done what he's doing without her. And again, she's gonna finish her course as a teacher and kind of click off just, and then the next week, she's going to get on an airplane and come here, and we're going to be able to listen. And I'm going to ask you to do some things to just be a blessing to them, to make them feel like she's never been here. Brother Chitty knows who we are, and he's been here before, but she's never been here. She's never walked in the door. And a church that has supported them and loves them, I want to make much of this. And so again, for us, and again, for even our missions trip, it will make so much more as we head out there to them, that once we've had them here and they know where we're coming from and how much this church loves them and is so appreciative of their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I want you to look on with me, and our time is about up, but I want you to see why. I want our teenagers, I want them to be able to go see faithful people. I want them to see this, bring them here and to praise them here in front of them, and then go to see the work that they've worked in. If you don't think, listen, the eye affects the heart. And to say someone spent 50 years somewhere means something, but when you go and see the place that they've served and see where they've spent their life, that's a whole different ballgame. And then to apply that, see again, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. What we want for our teenagers and our young people, and for those that will be able to go on the mission trip, we want them to have knowledge that someone has served God all their life and been true to the Word of God. And they want to, again, they'll see and hear them talk about how they have applied wisdom. I just followed God. God took care of it. It was all God. I can tell you what she's going to say. You don't need to be praising me because it was the Lord. It's only by his grace. And then when we get there and you get, then you understand what it really means to serve. When you see where they've spent their life and what they've spent their life in. And so then what do you see after that? What do you fellow laborers, true yoke fellow. And then verse 4, I want our young people to see all that and all the times, and they'll tell stories about all the rough times, and they'll rejoice in the Lord always. Always, and again I say rejoice. I want them to learn how to rejoice in the Lord no matter the circumstances, no matter where the Lord sends you, that place that God sent you is the best place God could send you. And again, he goes on, let your moderation be known to all men. I want them to go out there and be a testimony of Landmark and what we are out there, and that we would leave an impact there, that they'd see the generosity of our church to give and to raise the funds that are needed to go out and to leave them in a place, not so that we get the benefit of it, but that someone else might get the benefit of it. And then I want them to see here, how did you do this? Again, prayer and supplication. You know, I mean, after I realized, you know, we've been excited about this, we've been planning this, and we held this until after Restorathon so that we could focus on one thing, and now we can turn our focus as a church to the next thing and get behind that. And so we, as in prayer and supplication, we've been praying, and we saw God do a work through Restorathon, and now we need to see God do it again through our church and through prayer and supplication and investment of our time here. And we'll thank God for it. He says, thanksgiving, letting your requests be known to all men. I read through this, and for them, what do they need? Every one of us, our church, our young people. Again, they need to think on good things. Do you know sometimes if you never take your kids to see God work, or they never get to see God do something, they never let their eye affect their heart, how can you, all they've ever seen are things, or they've heard about what God has done. They've not seen it with their own eyes. And you know what happens to us? The Bible tells us, and the peace of God, which passes all, verse 7, that passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, what things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You think about the greatest moments of Restorathon, and we could have testimonies to it. The greatest Sundays. Boy, last Sunday was a good one, wasn't it? And be able to go back and say, I was there in the service that day after we had had a big day on Restorathon. And boy, Brother Morrison got up after they had sung and he preached the message, and it just seemed like a simple message on trusting in him. And then the preacher got up and gave an invitation and people didn't move. But he gave another plea for people to come, and the place dumped out. And 11 people got saved in the service. You know that there's a lot of people that can't tell that story because they've never seen it with their eyes. What I want my teenagers to be able to not just tell the story about Landmark, but that it's not just here, but they can go out there. And we went and we prayed and we gave and we went and we saw people saved on the reservation. We saw people saved in church, and we saw people move. And it's something, listen, what are they going to do? What are they going to draw on if they don't have memories like that? How are they going to trust God with big things in their future if they don't have something to think on? God did it in the past, and he can do it again. God did it for me in the past, and he can do it again. He did it on that mission trip, and he can do it again. I want us to have some things that we can think on as a church, that we can look forward to and then pray about and move towards with this thing, not letting anything go that we do here, but keeping on. I want you to see this. He comes all the way down and he does this. He talks about all the way he knows how to be abound and how to abase in verse 12. And everywhere in all things, I've instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And when I think about Brother Chitty, and you've heard his testimony here, how they started with nothing. They lived 5 years, I believe, in a bus with no running water in the middle of the desert. Okay, and if anybody knew how to be abased, how to live on the bottom and with nothing and hardly anything, and then to go out for our kids to hear his testimony of what he started with and be able to go out there and see some of those things, but then to see what God has done there and what God has given them. and then see how God can do that. If he can do that with them, he can do that with me. And then to be able to pray this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. The Apostle Paul prays, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I just want to say, for all of us, you know, we get through, we get weary, we get tired, and sometimes we're ready to fall out. We're ready to close it up and to quit and to give up sometimes in the hard times of this life. We need to be able to think on some things that God has done in our life and think, God brought me through this. I can't quit now. This is just a bump in the road compared to what God has brought me through, and I'm just going to hang in and hang on, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen, we're in the middle of our school year. We can't quit. We're getting ready to go to Soul Winning Marathon. We can't quit. There are people in Indiana that would die and go to hell if we quit now. Because God has set a plan and an order, and we're going to go out there and witness to them. And God has brought this opportunity. Think about the soul winning. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go. Well, if God's speaking to your heart to go, you better go on a mission trip, because there's somebody God's planning on you witnessing to in New Mexico. And listen, we're not of the sort of Calvinists that believe that somebody else will take our place and go by. If I don't show up and I don't give the gospel, I don't know when the next time they'll get a witness of God. And I think for all of us, we need to just kind of buckle up and buckle down and again, trust God and pray with him. I mean, I think as a church ministry, we've got this gauge that we've already made promises to. God's already told us how he's going to give. You know that God's not limited to just one gauge. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, again, I didn't know how I was going to do what I'm going to do on this gauge. But God, I trusted God. That's faith promise. You know what you can do with this gauge? The exact same thing. God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what you want to do, but if you'll give it through me, I'll give it back to you. You say, well, preacher, we're divided. No, we're not dividing anything. This is one ministry. This is somebody we already support. We're just saying we're going to come and get behind you and help you at a higher level right here, right now. God's put it all together. You say, well, I don't know if I can go. Well, again, if you can't go, you can give and you can pray for those that can go. You can beg God for them and prepare the way. The Holy Spirit fall on that reservation and them see a harvest. Brother Chitty told me this. He said, it's not been the same since COVID out there. And he made this statement, and I couldn't believe it. Because, I mean, you know how we dealt with all that. He said, there is not one family, there's not one people, group, or family on the reservation that didn't have at least one family member die during COVID out there. And he said, it is so crippled, our bus ministry and operations, because anytime they whisper that there's a new variant, he goes, it just closes down again. And he said, it's really crippled our opportunity to do those things. So again, we need to bind the devil. We need to pray. Listen, you know as well as I do, Pastor Carter said it. And if you're so thick-skulled, you don't think it's going to happen. If you don't think they're going to whip up a brand new batch of that for this coming election, listen, you got another thing coming. And so all of us need to pray against that. We need to pray open doors and that the Spirit go before us and give us opportunity to witness the folks. We want to see God. Listen, I don't want to make this kind of investment and go out. Listen, if one soul gets saved, it's all worth it. But wouldn't it be better if it's more than one? Amen. And that we see things done and we leave behind some things that will be used for years to come. Not so that they can say, look what Landmark did. But when people walk in and say, look what God did. Because that's who they're trusting to. He put brand new carpet in our chapel. He put brand new vinyl. Listen, all we're doing is simply doing what God tells us to do. So it ain't Landmark that's coming and doing it. It's God giving through us so that we can go do the work that God has impressed upon our heart to do. So tonight, again, take that verse with you. Pray about it. Maybe you came tonight and you needed it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And maybe you're here tonight and you can't do that because you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You can't go through Christ because he's not in you. You've never accepted him as your personal Savior. You know, salvation is in only one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you don't know him, you don't have a surety that you have eternal life, that you will have a home in heaven for eternity, then there's only one way to get it, and that's accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wouldn't it be a shame if we were willing to go all the way to New Mexico and tell people about it, but we weren't willing to tell people here? And so if you're here tonight during the invitation, maybe God's touched your heart and you want to pray and ask God to help this mission trip, to talk to you specifically about either going or what you can give to it, use the altar tonight. But if you're here and you don't know Christ, you know, more than anything, I'd love to be able to take the Bible and show you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can go to heaven, that you know that for sure. And I'd be happy to do that. Let's stand to our feet. As the musicians come, if God has spoken to your heart and you're a Christian, you want to step out and come. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you can't say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'll meet you right here in the front. I'll take a Bible. We'll take a Bible this evening and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. As they get ready to play and sing, you step out and come.
I have deep.